Blood is thicker than water, my mother always told me. Was it true in her life? A single mom and family with traditional married couples, my mother still young when she had me, was left with no support from my father. My mother is crossing a boundary of tradition within my family. She is now 40 and has been having a feeling of judgment from her loved ones since the day they found out I existed. This is another episode of Crossing Boundaries. This podcast is based around an interview with my mother.
Graduated from eighth grade, I decided to have like an after graduation party. So I decided to have it at, a restaurant, the Marathon Grill. It was during the day. It wasn't a lot of people. It was just immediate family, about seven or eight of us. And it was in the afternoon, and we all got to the Marathon Grill, had one of the cute little booths, and we ordered. So I told everybody, you can order anything you want on the menu. So my family's looking at me, and they're like, oh, can we get this? I'm like, anything on the menu. Oh, but this costs $12. Anything on the menu. Then after that, we mostly all got like burgers or salads or quesadillas or whatever. So then after that, I said, does anybody want dessert? So you would have thought I had said, did anybody want $100 bill? Because they all looked at me like I was crazy. And I was like, does anybody want any dessert? And then one of my relatives, who I swear she does this every time it's her birthday party, she does this everywhere, says, are you sure you can afford it? Do you need some money? So, and I told him, no, I'm fine. But the ironic thing about the whole thing was they don't understand, like, how no matter where I go, whether it's, like, a restaurant or wherever, I always find a bargain. So the actual cost of this little gathering was cheaper than the day at the mall with you and I. So, yeah, they do things like that, like, all the time, like... And in a way, I know they're trying to help, but in a way it's kind of insulting to think that I would plan a party, invite friends and family, and not have enough money to pay for it. Like, why would I do that? Like, if I couldn't afford a party, I wouldn't throw a party. So, and I mean, like I said, I'm pretty sure that they don't mean to be offensive. They're trying to be, helpful or supportive or whatever, but... it's a little annoying when everybody assumes that, you can't even afford to throw your own child a party.
So, in a way, do you think your family pities us?
Yeah, I guess in a way they do. I guess, like, if they could paint our lives, they would paint us, I'd be married to this rich guy and we'd have this big place in the burbs and stuff. But the truth is, we may not have as much things as other people, but I personally actually like our apartment and I like the city and I like my life the way it is. But I guess if they were running my life, which obviously they're not, it's not the life they would choose for me.
So, I heard you went to California when I was conceived, right?
Well, that's not quite accurate. I was already in California. I moved there when I was 19, and I always wanted to go, and it was lovely, and that is where I met your father. It was when I was living in California.
But you guys obviously didn't stay together. So you came back to Philadelphia pregnant. How did your family feel about that?
Well, first, I lived in California for about 4 years, so my family hadn't absolutely seen me in a long time because I hadn't came back to visit. So obviously they were excited about, seeing me. They hadn't seen me in a long time. I think that, part of them was excited because, I'm a relative and I'm having a baby. But I also think that a big part of it was they were really disappointed in me because, I worked, I've taken some college classes, and I think that they kind of
thought that I would go out there and I would like have a big career or something like that, you know, and I did, and I went out there and, you know, had fun, but basically I just, you know, came back unmarried and pregnant, and so, you know, they were all, you know, like, been married for years, and they had kids, and, you know, they were either finishing their degree or already finished. So I think, you know, me going to California, although it sounded exciting, but coming back pregnant, I think that they were not very happy about that.
Why don't you think your family was supportive?
Well, I mean, there, you know, there were a few things, you know, in the beginning that happened. I mean, I had, you know, a lot of issues with child care, you know, when my daughter was young, and there was times when I guess my family could have been more supportive, like when I needed somebody to be listed for the emergency contact for my daughter, and I didn't really have anybody to put down, so, you know, I put down one of my relatives, and it was like a big snowstorm, and I was on the other end of town, but they were like 2 minutes away from picking up my daughter, and that after school program called and said, you know, we're closing early, you know, your list is emergency contact, you can pick Amanda. And basically what they told the program was, you know, that they couldn't leave work early, and so if they had to, like, I don't know, take her to the police station until I come down to get her, you know, that would be fine, but, you know, they couldn't be bothered to come and pick her up. So, I mean, you know, there was little things that, you know, like, happened to really show that, I don't know, that, like, I truly, you know, was on my own. Even though everybody would say sometimes, oh, don't worry, you know, if you need anything, you know, we'll be there. I mean, in reality, you know, they weren't really there.
Why do you think they act differently towards us?
They do act differently. I mean, when Christmas time comes, always, ever since I was old enough to be on my own, I always bought little gifts. I mean, it could be, even if it's little stuff from the dollar store, I still buy little gifts. But when Christmas time comes every year, it's like they look and they're all like, oh, it's okay if you didn't buy us any gifts or something like that. It's like they think that we can't afford to, like, buy gifts. And they're like that birthday parties. Like, if it's a birthday party, and, I mean, we don't have them often, but, you know, like, for your sweet 16, it's like they're all looking like, oh, my God, that must be expensive. Oh, do you need money? Oh, are you okay? It's like they always think that, you know, we're broke and we can't afford anything and we can't do anything. And it's like, I don't know, it's always been that way.
So they feel as though because we don't have a man in our family that we can't have a life like theirs?
I think in a way that they just kind of like look down on us. Like they assume that like we're in the worst, you know, condition imaginable. But I mean, you know, I work, I go to school, nobody supports me, I support myself and you, and I just don't think they fully like respect like how hard that I work, you know, to give us a good life.
So do you think they don't respect women independence as much? They think that women should really rely on men in a way?
Well, I don't know if they don't respect a woman's independence, but I do think that, yeah, they have sort of like, you know, the old time, you know, viewpoints and traditions, you know, like a woman should be married. You know, I'm not gonna go as far as to say they think a woman should be, you know, like in the house taking care of the kid and the man at work in. But yeah, I think that they do believe more in the traditional family unit. So yeah, I would say that.
So your mother, my grandma, was also a single mother when she had you.
she wasn't married either. Did that affect the way they looked on you as a child, or did they treat you any differently?
Well, as far as my mom was concerned, growing up, I didn't have any of the advantages that you have. We were poor, but you know what? Back then, so was everybody else. But I mean, my grandma, you know, she was married and she had a husband and she stayed home with the kids mostly. So she lived that traditional family, you know, full-time family life. And I think that she was disappointed in my mom. And like I said, you know, we didn't have the advantages that I give you. We were poor. So I do think that, yeah, they looked at us as being tremendously poor. And maybe that's part of it. Maybe, you know, when I had you, maybe they looked at me and said, you know, well, she was really poor growing up and now she's a single parent of her own. We can't expect, you know, anything better for her because, you know, she wasn't really raised to want anything better.
How do you feel about being judged by such close members of your family about something that shouldn't even matter, like being a single mother?
Well, the truth is, I try not to let it affect me because I know what kind of person I am and I know what kind of person you are turning out to be, and I try not to let their opinions like dictate my life because, you know, I take care of me and you and, you know, our apartment and our lives, and I don't, you know, pretty much, I mean, they don't really have any input on anything that I do. They don't support me financially. I mean, so basically I run my life as, you know, it's you and I against the world, and that's just how it is. I mean, obviously it's my family, so I would love it if they wouldn't judge me, but I don't think they do it on purpose.
I know you're getting your degree. Does the fact that your family doesn't think you can amount to much as a single mother, do you think that helps you want to get your degree more?
Well, I mean, I have a degree. I mean, you know, I'm still working towards my bachelor's degree. But for me, more of a motivating factor in having that degree is to be an inspiration to you. You know, if they see it and say, oh, I guess we were wrong, I guess you could do it or whatever, you know, that's great. But they may look at the degree and be like, oh, she has a degree, but she's still poor or whatever. So there's no guarantee that just because I have a degree, they're going to look at my economic situation and not assume, you know, it's anybody. Exactly.
So, I know we just moved into a new apartment. It's been bigger than our other apartment. And I know family's been over, like Auntie Gail, Auntie Linda, Nana. How do they react to the bigger new apartment?
Well, when we invited people to come over to see it, they were a little bit, you know, shocked about the size of the apartment. And, you know, we had a few of our relatives who pretty much said, oh my God, are you sure you can afford to live here? I don't know, I guess for maybe a second or two, it actually seemed like they were almost not looking down on us. In a way they were, because they were trying to say we couldn't afford to live here, but then in a way it kind of sounded like they were almost impressed. So it was kind of a mixed bag when they would say it. Like, I didn't know whether I should be insulted or not. I really didn't, you know. Like, or just take their money if they were actually offered to help pay us our rent, you know. So, but like I said, I mean, I got the same reaction, not just from one relative, actually from several relatives, you know, when they came over. Oh, this place is so large. Oh, you can afford to live here.
So tell me, is blood truly thicker than water? Even though my mother's family didn't respect her decision of being a single parent, they at least tried to act supportive. Their traditional views focused around one thing, money. To them, without a husband meant no stable income. This didn't apply to my mother, but that didn't stop them from thinking it. In this case, water just might be thicker. I'm Amanda, and I'll be back next week with Crossing Boundaries.